Back to Deep Thoughts. Today I'm smoking a wonderful gift by one of our listeners, Richie Montgomery. Richie's very special because he is an incredible artist. I'm going to put all the links to his wares down below. That way I don't say something that expires. He's all over the place. But he draws in a very special way that I can only liken to artists like M.C. Escher. He doesn't have one particular style, but he does have some popular styles that he likes to illustrate in. He is currently really blowing up in America. He's getting a lot of requests from merchants and businesses to illustrate a lot of their wares because they're just looking for something different, you know, and something beautiful and something handmade. This Opus X is the Blue Label Opus X, and it is absolutely the finest Opus X I've ever had in my life. I've only smoked one of these before because they are so rare to get a hold of. I'll show you some pictures of it. Thank you, Richie. And I'll try to make this a really good episode. So I recently did some traveling. And in doing so, I always like to get caught up on some reading. Both in my collection of books and in the, you know, swilly rags that are published and sold at airports, right? You can't get a more, I don't know, I think, vile group of published books than you can at an airport. But anyway, I bought everything I could find on artificial intelligence just to do a little bit of an update on where we are. Now, before I go into this episode, there was an AI episode way back in Series 1 very early on. And I think the first thing you have to know about anyone talking about it is what's their background. Because if you don't understand the person talking, you might just go, oh God, not another one of these things, right? Artificial intelligence was definitely around just as soon as someone could conceive of it, especially the Turing test back in the day, which is a test to say if a computer can convince a human being that another human being is actually conversing with them, then they pass the Turing test. We're going to get into that a little bit too, I think. But in the mid-80s, as a aspiring programmer, I jumped into artificial intelligence on my end with very little training because the amount of published books where I particularly was located was nil, besides I was a teenager anyway, without any money. There was no internet. And I'm not sure how many geeky magazines were accessible. I never really looked, but I came to California as a young man, became a programmer very quickly, was involved in a startup very quickly that required some artificial intelligence, and it was going to teach all the people of the world that ran this program, the sort of gamey program, how the masters discovered electricity way back in the day by giving you a playground where you actually recreate the experiment. What I didn't know is how utterly brilliant that product would have been. I don't know if it's ever been really created. I've seen a couple sort of attempts to do that. But my job was to program the product and draw it. And one of the partners was an artificial intelligence guy who was going to college for it. Probably in his late 20s, early 30s. And it was funny how he had the computer science degree. I didn't. He was taking a special, you know, master's degree in artificial intelligence, and we sat down at the table. I'm 18 years old, and this guy knows fuck all about AI. Unbelievable. Couldn't figure out a way to have people ask questions in free-forming text and decipher that question into a response by the program, because they wanted you to kind of be able to get your own help. My strategy was simply to say, look, we're looking for keywords, then just throw a batch of answers at them. Because again, artificial intelligence, as you will learn in this episode, is merely a reenactment of a very specific request to a programmer to satisfy that request in some form of response. What does that mean? Everything you ever see that blows you away about artificial intelligence has been specifically coded to exist. There is no dynamic creation of thought. But there is one question that we have not asked, and it is the name of this episode, of which you already know. Do we need AI? Do we need it? In all my travels, I've just realized that I've never heard anyone ask the question. Now, there's a lot of articles written about things, and I don't read those articles because I don't know they exist, so someone's probably asked the question before. Maybe a dozen times, maybe three dozen times. But it's probably written and paid for by someone peddling something, selling something. Usually when someone says, hey, you know, why do you need that washer and dryer? And they'll say, well, because I've got, you know, things to do, and these things automate the process for me, so I can go off and get more done with life. And they're right. Artificial intelligence is there to replace what? Real intelligence. And I think that before I get into everything that I read, there's a bit of a paradox to say, well, can man really recreate man? Is that possible? Is there some magic algorithm of sort of fractal reiteration where you can say whatever comes out goes back in, and whatever comes out goes back in, and it just manifests, it becomes exponentially smarter simply because it's digesting its own output? Or can you take two artificial intelligence bots and make them talk to each other, and then they learn, they don't need another human in the room, and then just like all the Hollywood bullshit that's out there, oh my god, they're God, right? They're V'ger. I will tell you, being an engineer and having dove into artificial intelligence several times in my career, looking at the different infrastructures and platforms that they use to create artificial intelligence, I have not seen anything revolutionary at all, ever. But when I have conversations or overhear conversations about artificial intelligence, what I constantly hear is a regurgitation of what Hollywood told them, or the ambiguous statements of a Stephen W. Hawking or of an Elon Musk. Oh my god, these guys said they've seen horrible things and it's going to be horrible, horrible, horrible. I want you to keep in mind that maybe some of those doomsday statements really have to do with regulating the industry prior to the industry becoming profitable, such that they're going to be the only ones that'll be able to lawfully introduce artificial intelligence, and you sitting in your living room will be breaking the law if you happen to create an artificial intelligence by yourself, thus locking in the community for Elon Musk to dominate whatever's there. As a interesting contrast, and I would say almost a similar theme and archetype, I bought a magazine on UFOs. And I might drag some stuff out of that magazine to make an episode, but I haven't read magazines in a long time. It was actually very interesting to get into it. But nearly every single article in this UFO magazine that I've read so far, it's probably about half at this point, because I bought about six magazines to get through. Every single article was the same. It was like, oh, there are these aliens, and people have seen them, but maybe there's a government conspiracy. That was every single article. Well, then there was these aliens, and then people said they saw them, but maybe there's a government conspiracy to hold them back. It was like every single article. Well, the AI magazines, there was three of them. Some of them Scientific American. One of them I think was Popular Science. There was a philosophy one that had a few articles about it. We are stuck on first day class. First day of class. I am not hearing anything that I haven't heard for 35 years in this industry. Oh, they will preach about neural nets, and they'll talk about this one thing that starts to make your jaw drop a little bit, but then you start to realize, oh, wait a minute, you programmed that AI to do that one thing. So, of course, it did that one thing. And as it didn't pass the Turing test, or did, or didn't please the generals, or the commanders are going to pay for all this research, or the board of directors, the investors, all you did was massage the experience such that the output looked more organic. And everyone gives you another year's budget without being up your butt about it, right? I will tell you in a couple things here. I've had some conversations recently in the last week as well with fairly informed individuals about it. There's nothing revolutionary going on in artificial intelligence as it relates to science fiction things like the Blade Runner Nexus series, you know, replicants. Nothing remotely like that happening at all. If you see any sort of, you know, rubber costumed robot behaving like a human being, every single thing that you are seeing has been hand coded. We are not at Westworld yet. We're not even close. We're not even at one day old baby. However, like I said in my first episode in first season, what they do have is very basic machine learning, artificial intelligence loops. And that sounds so big, doesn't it? Do you realize that every piece of mechanical code that has ever been created or written, whether it be a calculator that you have to, you know, run a rotary hand crank to get it to tumble the gears to calculate something, all the way up to the latest Swift 3.0 code that's been compiled and run on your telephone, it's all artificial intelligence. Anytime something is not using direct human intelligence to happen, is artificial. What they have done is create drones. They have created drones that are as big as planes and jets, and they've created little tiny micro swarming drones that can fly around with, you know, 2 to 4 little propellers, and they can control themselves in 3D space. These devices, depending on how big they are, can hold enough circuitry and power to identify friend or foe, organic, non-organic, and carry out various tasks against those targets. We've had robots roaming streets on the behalf of the police looking for bombs and what have you going into hostile areas for over 20 years. What's the big deal, man? We've had remote control cars since the 70s when I was a little kid, right? So you make it a lot bigger. You put guns on it and all of a sudden you've had a revolution? I don't think so. It's no more intense than the Smokey and the Bandit Trans Am I had as a kid. But these things are lethal. Boston Dynamics DARPA robots are designed to be utterly lethal. The last episode of season 4 of Black Mirror will show you why. So we don't need a hell of a lot of intelligence, and we don't need to develop another line of code at this point in terms of the intelligence of these robots to have a big threat on our hands in terms of how these things could take over a city. And the one thing that Black Mirror did beautifully in their final episode was that they created these little teeny tiny robots, these little, like, about a chihuahua-sized robot. And that's the best way to make these things as deadly as hell, besides, you know, microscopic bees that could drill into your head and kill you, or the video that's going around for some fictional show where it shows a drone, that swings and taps you in the forehead and puts basically a .22 round in your head. It takes a little bit of pattern recognition for it to figure out where your face is, and then engages a maneuver to get itself there. I guess we'll be wearing lead foil hats at that point, right? There's a fantastic Twilight Zone. I forgot its name, but it's about a gentleman who gets fascinated. He owns a factory, and he gets fascinated with artificial intelligence, and he starts replacing all of his employees with computers. And one of his employees says, you know, you're an asshole. We have to build things with the human soul, because that gives a man a sense of purpose and dignity. And he tells the guy, you are so passe. You got to get with the times, baby. And the guy just quits. By the end of the episode, the man who started the whole nightmare was laid off himself and replaced with, I believe, Robbie the Robot with a head swap. And that's, you know, somewhere in the 60s. They made that prediction, right? Do we need artificial intelligence? It's a real question. I know it sounds like a gimmicky little technique to create a clickbait situation, but it's not. The way I view this question is very simple. About the mid-60s in the United States of America, at least, we had reached sort of the apex of our educational ability to teach a human being something. The kids coming out of college became some of the most successful kids per capita of children graduating college. And those who didn't go to college actually did extremely well as well, because, you know, K through 12 was actually fairly informative. People were happier because they did have a sense of purpose. We prided our own country's products, you know, made in America meant something. But when one could go to bed at night having accomplished something, regardless of what that is, it makes you feel better. But now we're in a situation where education couldn't be crappier. I would say most likely globally. And this is the foundation that we're using to create an artificial copy of ourselves. To start replacing man at every single conceivable level. Now, it should be noted that there are AI replacement initiatives that have already been put in place, right? And robots make cars. A giant portion of assembly lines are made by cars. Okay. Next one up is the next rumored stage of deployment, which are, you know, like for example, would be fast food locations being replaced by robots. So that's not quite here. It's coming. Maybe there's one prototype been deployed in, you know, Omaha, Nebraska, whatever. And then there's the sort of Boston Dynamics stuff. It's like, holy shit, that is going to be very questionable as to how this is used, right? And again, everything's buttoned up inside of a nice ribbon. Boston Dynamics really has two things that they have been pioneering, the mule and the man. The mule has been put out there as, oh, it's just going to carry really heavy things for soldiers. Right, because there's all these soldiers in the desert carrying gigantic bundles of things. They're either special forces that carry very little, or they have six-wheeled vehicles, four-wheeled vehicles that are driving from point A to point B. Knowing how IEDs work, it would be an absolute travesty to have, you know, if you had 10 robots from Boston Dynamics, you're probably talking about $100 million tab, and some guy uses, you know, $50,000 worth of mortar shells and blows up all those targets in one fell shoot. Is it shoot or swoop? I don't remember. But the man one is interesting because they're teaching it how to crawl over all these different terrains. And so essentially what it is it's a robot with a bunch of cameras and a processor that can run fast enough to constantly look down at the ground, find its depth, find obstacles, whether or not one is close, like a doorknob versus a stick come pointing right at its face versus nothing, an opening, and then it makes decisions. But again, all we see are cleansed videos out of DARPA, Boston Dynamics. You know, they've had a chance to tell that robot what to do, and it failed 999 times, but got it right one time, and that's the video you see. They kicked the mule in the parking lot who's walking on ice, and 99 times out of 100, it falls on its ass, and it cannot get back up again. But the one time that it, you know, corrects and it gets to stay on its feet, that's the one we see. I think there's a kid in Korea that's creating mechanized robots, just like all them ones we've been playing in video games for years. But artificial intelligence isn't always a military thing, right? It's in your house. There is the push for 5G networks, which is basically going to cook all the DNA of every neighborhood that has them, because they want every single device in the world to be chipped and controlled and in full communication with some central system. And, you know, there'll be these sales pitches to make it sound alluring. Well, have you ever lost your remote control? Easy. Ask your computer. It'll tell you where it is. Have you ever lost your socks? Easy. It'll tell you where they are. But imagine the cognitive skills that we have to find a remote control, to find your socks, going away simply because the computer always answers the question for you. We have learned in the recent past that critical thought is almost, you know, going into extinction. It's an endangered species of neural operation. And the only way to get it back is to go back into the gym of thinking, which is obviously why this show exists, right? I'll tell you a study I've never seen, and that is the study of saying what are the food groups, the basic food groups of a cognitive, healthy human being. The types of thoughts that an individual has to be able to have, the creativity that they have to possess, the discernment that they have to have, to create a fully functional, beautiful human being. And then compare that against the artificial intelligence that is being presented to the world as being the next thing that we want to do. And saying, how will this, by replacing that, impair that from being able to function properly? I'll give you an example that you've all seen in your lifetime if you're at least 25 years old. You have a friend whose mommy took care of him or her every day of their life, did all their laundry, had it all nice and folded, made every single meal. If the car ever broke down, dad went off and got it fixed or paid someone to fix it. They never had to do a damn thing. And then, for whatever reason, they get out on their own because they believe they can conquer the world. And life goes to shit real fast because they can't do anything on their own. They don't know how to iron a piece of clothing. They don't even know what a vacuum cleaner is. And that is because the parental units have prevented those circuits from ever developing in that person. I have dated several people like this. I used to hate the fact that I was an only child and basically a human slave in my house to do all the chores and all that stuff. But man, when I turned 17 and I got out of the house, I was so thankful that that was my past. Because surviving was easy. But that's the threat that is always going to be a threat to mankind. If artificial intelligence takes off and gets sort of overgrown. Now I'm going to jump off here for about 5 minutes and give you an example of a very almost humorous way that we have seen it work really well. It's a fictional setting here. The Star Trek series created by Gene Roddenberry is a great example of artificial intelligence playing a fairly decent role in humans' lives, but not being too overbearing. We have a ship's computer. They have various utilities like replicators. And in Next Generation, we have a android named Data. In Voyager, we have the hologram, the Doctor, who doesn't really ever have a name. At one point, he was going to call himself Einstein or something like that. But so we've seen this integration where human beings are still required to behave and still required to be involved with, you know, arming photon torpedoes and firing. It's all a human thing. The artificial intelligence is perhaps just sort of the underbelly of the ship, the circuitry that makes it happen. You push a button that says fire, just like in your car when you turn on your air conditioner, circuitry completes, and it happens. We have artificial intelligence programs inside all of our big commercial jets. So if someone tries to pull a 911 in a jet, the jet won't allow a 4G turn. It's impossible. It will prevent it. It will prevent that dangerous situation from occurring. The pilot can try, and the AI will refuse it. So where do we want artificial intelligence? Where do we want it? Well, I think that one of the things that Star Trek actually did really, really well, and probably without thinking about it, is that man in that series has to maintain the central consciousness of the time. There's a captain that runs the ship. Every individual has their own quarters. They make requests for tea, Earl Grey, or whatever, synthahol, and the replicators will create it for them. But it comes from a command and response relationship with artificial intelligence. I was given one of these Echoes for Christmas. And I understand these things are little surveillance mechanisms, and everything that you say into an Echo is actually transmitted to the central hub and translated, then the command is sent back about how to respond to it with your Alexa woman inside. I use her to wake up. It's actually very interesting to use voice commands to set an alarm If I need to snooze, it snoozes. If I need to move the alarm, I move the alarm. On occasion, I might ask a question, but I usually don't. Now, there's a bunch of fears that these echoes actually listen without your permission and transmit your information from the room to some central location. I can tell you as a programmer, it would be extremely easy to put some voltage meters on this thing, to put a route tracer on the outside, and you would be able to, as an agency for the consumer protection, you'd be able to see it talking out the back door instantaneously. But it's definitely an area where all the companies are fighting to prove to the central intelligence agencies and various military agencies, perhaps the NSA, that they are the one to allow to be in the top of the pile, because they will provide and sell and market spy information or spy devices into your house, right? Apple's entire spy portfolio. And if you just take every single company like Google, Microsoft, and Apple, and you say, wait, they're not really what you think they are. They are wooing the surveillance community by how much they can create devices that spy on you. For instance, all three of those companies create an operating system, which means everything that you type and everything that you save on your hard drive, transmit over the internet, is all up for grabs. So all that input is spied on. Apple takes it one step further, as well as Android, Google, and that you carry your spy device around with you, your cell phone. It does GPS as to where you are, and we've already solved a lot of crimes as a result of this, right? The next one up for Apple is the watch, and there's an Android watch that does the same thing. But the idea is they want you to wear this thing everywhere you are, and they've fed into it the biometric information, right? They want to know how your heart beats, and there's Fitbits that do it. There is an Android watch. Now they're trying to promote the fact that you should wear your Apple Watch to bed. You have this radioactive cancer machine attached to your body. It's remarkable how that's done. But the new one is the Echo. The new one is this, I think Apple calls it the home unit or whatever it is, but they're all fighting to put these little listening devices into your bedrooms. You should have one in every room. Of course, they never price it, so that's possible. So there's a big business in trying to woo these agencies to violate the Fourth Amendment to control us. And the Military Commissions Act is the exemption document that was drafted during the Bush administration, reaffirmed during the Obama administration. No mention of it during the Trump administration so far. Perhaps it hasn't had to renew yet. That allows all these Fourth Amendment violations to be essentially tongue-in-cheek, not a violation of the Constitution of the United States. If it ever hit the Supreme Court, we would find out who is actually working for the World Bank and who's not. I don't want to get off into this tangent but you need to understand that that's what's really going on with all that technology. They're not interested in keeping you satisfied, except to say, love surveillance. And artificial intelligence is going to play a big role as this progresses. I've been going to Disneyland for a very, very long time. And they have this Imagineering sort of building in Tomorrowland where you can go in, at least it was last time I was there, and they'll have the Kitchen of Tomorrow. This is where you get to see a tremendous amount of how AI is being integrated into the household. They want to RFID chip every single ingredient that you have in your house such that any day you walk in, they can tell you, okay, you have enough to make spaghetti. Did you know you can make fettuccine because you bought that little pound of chicken? Again, at face value, it sounds great. And maybe in some of these more strategic ways, like a Star Trek environment where you have a utility that serves you on command, it might be nice. Maybe you'll become a better chef under one circumstance. But why do we become fat, weak? Why do we become stupid after we were smart? Why are we allowed to stay incapable of taking care of ourselves? Because something else or someone else is doing it for us, right? But isn't it sort of blasphemous for me to say, or even viewed as ignorant for me to say, should we have AI? Should we go in that direction? Isn't the knee-jerk response simply to say, what are you, an idiot? Of course, this is an imperative. This is an obligatory thing in time. It must occur. You can see how they would eat us alive in the public if we ever created a group that said this is a bad idea. Because the public doesn't have the knowledge, I think, in bulk to this day to be able to analyze this without having it broken down. So I think the good news is the level of AI at this point is so bad, so remedial, so laughable. Like the Echoes and the Siris and the Alexas and it's the stupidest thing in the world. I mean, all you're doing is verbalizing a search in Google. And then based on how they want to route the answers, you get a lookup read to you over these devices, and people are shitting all over themselves. It's like, well, was it very amazing when you said, who is Albert Einstein in Google, and it simply sent you to the Wikipedia page? And now the only thing that's really occurred here is that Siri reads it to you? Do you really think we're just, HAL 9000 is the very next thing that's about to show up in your bedroom? Some people think that that's what's going on. Oh my God, I talked and it recognized my voice and then it gave me information back. Ooh, it set an alarm. Oh God, we're going to be traveling the stars any minute now. When you get into artificial intelligence and you start to parse the atom of what it means to be a human being, hell, even an insect or an animal, you start to come into the grips very quickly that we have this amazing process by which we are created. We don't really understand the embryo to fetus to baby process when it relates to the development of the mind and consciousness. Whether, you know, again, there's those of us that believe in souls, and I've gone down that road a million times. Let's just say that whatever you believe we are is a given at the inception point. And then after that point, we are gaining our consciousness and control over ourselves and the identification of who we are. But I went off on a little tangent when I was 16 years old. I've been programming for 4 years. And I started just to see things. I just started to see artificial intelligence, brains, and how we could actually start building a consciousness out of the sensory input that we would put into an artificial intelligence. And after about 6 months of designing and programming some basic things, and again, if I'd had the internet, it would have really blown up as a young kid, because I needed, for one of the elements of its brain, I needed to have a lot of textual content in digital form, which we simply didn't have. You know, I didn't even own an internet, a modem for quite a while. But very quickly, even as a child, you'll realize that we have bodies and we have at least 5 senses that we're taking in. Now, most of us believe we have a hell of a lot more than that. But even just the 5 senses, every single one of the senses becomes this ultimately complex, insurmountable amount of data that comes in that has to be logically mapped to all the other senses, which provide the same level of astonishment, sight, hearing, touch, before we even get to a super high hyper construct like love, right? And so one of the magazines I bought recently, I think is a Scientific American, it talks about, and what a swilly mag this thing has turned into. Oh my God. They couldn't interview a bum on the street without the guy, you know, having some global warming agenda or something. It's really just awful, awful writing. But it was the profound cover story, okay, that Sony, among other vendors, has realized that artificial intelligence really needs a body. And so they've created this sort of infant child, sort of like a robot, and they're starting to, you know, make it interact with the world, and they're trying to figure out how to decipher the input to try and create these Turing test versions of their program to, again, convince you of a very small thing going really, really right. It's child's play, and I'm telling you, you know, my adventure was in the mid-80s. Okay, by 1985, I was doing this as a teenager. Okay, it's 2018. It's been a long time, man. It's been over 30 years, and we're still at ground zero, right? Now, I know what some of you will say. You'll go to that 100-year theory and you'll say, yeah, man, but the government's way ahead of us. And that's sort of a way to cop out. And I'm going to say not probably as much as you think. Now, there are artificial intelligence programs that are given various charters, like predicting crime, like the Minority Report thing. You hear this rumored all over the place, right? Oh, they can take your profile and your data and then compare it against all the other convicted criminals, and they can find out whether or not you're likely to commit a crime. By the things you say, the places you go, where you spend your credit card, what kind of food you eat, what kind of people you hang out with, where you live in the world, whether or not you're a Republican, whether or not you're a registered gun owner. Sure, it's just a statistical probability that they run. And, you know, sure, you could be likely, but you still don't have to do it. How many times do your friends and family blow you away that you thought that they were total losers? Or you thought they were going to be Ivy League's total successful scientists or whatever, singers, performers, whatever. And either they turned into something amazing when you thought they couldn't, or they turned into complete losers when you thought they had it in the bag. And why did any one of those things happen? Because one little tiny thing happened to them that kicked it off. Let's take a few examples of where artificial intelligence, if they were to reach these total apexes of programming that they're not reaching today, might be sold to you as, wouldn't it be great if? There's a lot of you who love pets. And you've owned several pets in your lifetime because you've lived more than, say, 10 years, and your pets on average live between 8 and maybe 14 years, and they pass away. But some artificial intelligence company comes in and says, you know what, we have created, and this has already been done to some degree, and it's been pretty awful, but let's say they can create a cat and a dog, or maybe even some totally weird Mugwai thing that's just cute as a button. And it has a means of learning to a certain extent. It does everything that a cat and dog does. It ingests, it excretes. It is your sort of your best friend. It's soft. It walks in real time. It's not some weird robotic looking thing. And they say, you know what? What's the worst thing about owning a pet? And the answer comes back, well, they die. And they say, well, wouldn't you like to pay a certain amount of money for a pet that can be designed to your heart's content, and it will never die, and it gives you all the interaction that you have from every single pet species that you like. If you like the way that cats walk between your legs when you walk down the hallway, well, we can make this pet do that. If you like the way that dogs greet you when you come home, we can make it do that. And a bunch of other things that none of the pets that you've ever had have done. And you can build an artificial bond, or even a real bond, excuse me, with this artificial pet. And the beautiful things that never dies. So that comes down the line. A couple things happen right away. Cats and dogs start to suffer because nobody wants them anymore. Why? Because they die. They have a short lifespan. No one rescues them anymore. It's over. Sure, you'll have your hippies that still get those pets, and your hunters in the South that still get their hound dogs. But for the most part, those guys and gals are just relics. Everything's artificial intelligence. Well, what happens when a pet dies? Well, I'm going to do an episode about a pet that I was involved in that is a wonderful pet that passed away. I've got a great gallery of photos I'm going to put in there for you. The human being grows when a pet dies. You know, I used to always think it was fairly cruel to get a pet for young kids because pets do die. And depending on if you got the pet prior to your child's birth, because pet, you know, kid number one was the reason why you got the dog. And by the time you get to kid number three, the dog has lived 3 or 4 years and it is going to pass away well within the infant stage of the third child. And they're going to have to deal with the trauma of it all. I used to think that was cruel when I was young. Having experienced it now in very three-dimensional way in my 40s, because I'm allergic to pets for the most part, so I don't get them. In California, it's interesting. My block has quite a few dogs, but most of my friends don't have any pets of any kind because their life is too busy to be able to integrate feeding an animal and having a life. But my grandfather used to always have dogs. And when they passed, he went through a traumatic situation. I believe he had 3 dogs within my lifetime. The soul grows when you see mortality happen. Now, if you live a full-fledged life and you don't lose track of your parents, whether they be biological parents or adoptive parents, doesn't really matter. Your friends, if you don't lose track of them, you will bury your friends and family at some point. It happens. Sometimes you'll be on their deathbed holding their hand as they pass into the other world, as they transcend. But a dog is a way to get a shortcut to that huge learning curve. It teaches you about your own mortality, doesn't it? Something that is truly alive and truly organic is giving you their true love and their true decision-making process to be a part of your life. And regardless of how wonderful an artificial intelligence might be, in the back of your mind, as long as you know it is an artificial being, you will know that all you're doing is convincing an algorithm to give you a true or a false. I love you, I don't love you. I'm hungry, I'm not hungry. As much as it might emulate reality, it is not reality. Now, some of you might be thinking about those men who are married to dolls. They take sex dolls. They have a polygamous rubber relationship in some cases. They have lots of them. They eat dinner with them. They take them to bed. They dress them up. They take them to parties with each other. My God, that must be some great conversation. We do have exceptions to the rule where people are so undone. This is their only option in their own mind. I always say there's someone for everyone. You just can't give up on looking for it. But as artificial intelligence usurps the responsibility of man, man will no longer have that skill set. And every decade that goes by that particular utility of man has been replaced, man will forget how to do it biologically. One of the most amazing things you can do in your life is to go out and hunt for your food. Now, some of you might be thinking about, using spears or something or arrows and having a really hard time at it. You're going to hunt some venison. Well, what about just throwing a little worm into a lake and fishing out a fish? What about just taking eggs out of a coop and cooking them fresh? No matter how you accomplish that task, if you don't do that on a regular basis, if you're not Ted Nugent, it's a rewarding experience to go back to the primal version of what we were, because we used to do this a hell of a lot more than we went to the shopping center and got our food, the grocery store. If any of you have made a little garden in your backyard, and then you are sitting at your table looking down at vegetables, and there's this little thing in your brain that said, oh my God, you can really grow tomatoes? I mean, I can really just put a seed in soil and water it and take care of it and harvest what comes out of it? I can? Really? Look at how we have taken automated industries and lost our capability of really sustaining life. For any of you who are preppers, or you know a prepper, one of the psychological evaluations that they've come up against is to simply say, how much of our primal capabilities have we lost? If we lost power in this world, just power, it went dead all around the world. I'm going to predict that there would be a 90% reduction in the population of this world within whatever the starvation envelopes are of your local region. If you have fresh water, you can live a little bit longer. But people would go feral. People would eat each other alive, probably literally. And once that's done, they die. The summary report I can give any one of you listening to this episode is that the mental artificial intelligence that we have developed to date is shit. It is infantile. If anyone shows you a demo that makes you convinced otherwise, that demo has been specifically programmed to make that specific situation appear intelligent. But you ask it to do something 90 degrees off or to the side, and it will fail. Right? I give it a hypothetical example. They have written an AI that can look at, and I'm making this up, right? They can look at a flat photograph of a human being. It understands the overall basic genetics of a human being, and it starts to trace limb length, and it starts to make estimations using shadows in the pixels of the photograph to figure out where joints are. So it starts to then reconstruct underneath the flesh, or underneath the, maybe underneath the flesh, but underneath the clothing, the actual body of the human being. And it's fairly accurate. If you got a big gut, it figures that out. If you're all ripped, it figures that out. And you're like, oh my God. This artificial intelligence can figure out people underneath their clothing in just static old photographs. They even showed it a picture of Winston Churchill, and by God, if it didn't make something look like Gary Oldman. But then you ask that same intelligence, what is a cotton ball? And it just goes into this Robbie the Robot infinite loop of self-destruction, because it has no goddamn clue what you're talking about. A true consciousness in artificial intelligence is going to be a device that can learn everything that a human baby can learn. If you were to take the first 10 seconds of a human infant, the second it exits its mother's womb, and if you could track the trillions of experiences that it's having on a 5-point sensor system in 10 seconds, and compare every single artificial intelligence developed to date in some DARPA basement, in some 100-year theory, I would wager that we can't dissect or put together any artificial intelligence that can capture the first 1 second of that experience to properly index the input and make sense out of it, such that the second incoming second of a five-point sense system could attach to the previous second and continue building a logic gate, a neural net of any intelligence whatsoever. In 10 seconds, the AIs of today, the most brilliant AIs of today, trying to simulate human thought, would look like some, you know, 100-sided Rubik's Cube that had been blown up by a pipe bomb. It doesn't mean, just like a robot that can paint a panel in a Ford factory, that it could be reprogrammed to make a Big Mac better than the fat kid that loves cake. Doesn't mean that can't be done, but that's not real intelligence. That's mimicry. That's a script that tells an arm to go here, there, waypoints, you know, left, right, up, down, in 3 inches, back 4 inches, grab the cheese, use your camera to figure out whether or not it's cheesy enough, use a thermostat sensor to see if the meat is at the right temperature before you pull it out, working with all the sensors in the ovens to make sure that everything's going well. Yeah, that's intelligent up to the point of making a Big Mac, but can't make a souffle. Isaac Asimov put together some great directives for how to handle sort of an android robot, which was actually beautifully recreated in Automa, the Antonio Banderas movie. It's free again on Netflix. But I think perhaps before we allow an android to be created, we got to go back to the basics and say, what is going to represent a human being in its healthy mental state? It's critical thinking, all that good stuff. And then what are we planning on, you know, facilitating ourselves with when it comes to automated processes, with which we call artificial intelligence, which is really sort of automated intelligence, right? What's going to make man stronger? What's going to make man weaker? We talk about on this show, and it's a pretty good keyword out there in the internet, which is that empathy is dying. Now, I'm going to qualify that by saying I think that with the recent awakening, empathy is being reborn. But it's a long process, right? It takes no time to use it, but it takes a long time to create it. How do we get empathy? There are some people that have it fairly regularly, and they have it from birth. But empathy, just to kind of rewind here for a second, it is your ability to feel what someone else feels, to put yourself in their shoes, not just to feel sorry for them. That's sympathy, right? But usually we have empathy because we've been in their shoes. We've been there before. What if artificial intelligence got to the point where it starts replacing enough little tiny microscopic elements of human existence that by the time someone suffers in some very basic way or some advanced way, we're unable to sense what they feel because, well, geez, we've always had our robots do it for us. And these people can't afford robots, so we don't know what it's like. You might have conversations, you know, 200 years from now, if this stuff works out at any level, where someone will say, you know, I couldn't even imagine what it was like to lose a sock. I mean, my neighbor lost a sock, and he couldn't figure out where it was, and I couldn't believe that that was even possible. I mean, I never even thought about it. The torment of losing a sock. Or your neighbor that has a dog that dies, but you got an automated one, a replicant. I know you feel what I'm saying here. I think a large part of me is just sort of sick and tired of hearing folks that don't know anything about programming. I mean, I'm not angry about it, but it's this thing where they'll carry these headlines to you in a conversation. Well, did you hear Elon Musk said? Fuck that guy. Are you serious? Swear to God, you're buying a straw man. Just like Zuckerberg's not a coder. You're buying bullshit. If you believe these folks, if the mass media tells you someone's smart, unless we have really re-engineered this country, most likely they're the antithesis of anything defined as such, right? All the people that are science heads, either they can't speak and they're quadriplegic and someone else is programming their speaking spell, or, you know, they don't have science degrees. Walking around saying they're science guys, right? But they've got degrees that are 30, 40 years old, claiming to be on top of things, spewing some basic old theories that most folks can't understand because, one, they're wrong, and two, they require a big foundation of knowledge to be able to question. Imagine if general relativity or special relativity is wrong. How are you going to prove it is wrong? You are going to have not only the full intimate knowledge of those two theories, which have a lot of spin-off theories, but you're going to have the counter theory, the counter science that is the true replacement for that deception. That's a lot of hard work. Artificial intelligence is exactly the same. And because AI is sort of put on everything, right? It's anytime there's a calculation, a process that is put into motion, not just a functional remote control, but something that says, hey, I'm going to dim the lights at 10 o'clock because I don't think you need anything to be that bright after 10. I'm going to turn down your heater at least 2 in the morning if you haven't done it yourself. I'll turn it back on, you know, up to 72, just about 50 minutes before I see you get up in the morning because I got a sensor that does motion detection in your house. And on average, I just create an average wake-up time, and I go 15 minutes before that and make sure the house is heated up by the time you get up. I think mankind is sort of, this is not a profound statement. Maybe 30 years ago it would be more profound, but I think man is losing grasp of reality because of all the amenities of life. Those of you who look at all the drugged-up people, and I don't mean heroin and cocaine, those kind of things, but your people that are on all these drugs that help them think better and do things. Yeah, some people have physical problems. That's a different situation. But people are trying to use sort of lifestyle drugs to try and get an edge on something. You know, we have energy drinks. You know, I'm guilty of drinking a couple that are fairly neutral in terms of its damage to my body. But still, I need to just get better sleep. I need to manage my life better. And stop using artificial ways to patch up my life. So I want you to take all those things in your mind that we use that we probably shouldn't use, and then make every single one of those things an artificial intelligence in your mind and say, wow. Just like the third act of WALL-E, the movie, the obese people that floated around in those cars, they had no bone density. In fact, they didn't have enough bone matter in their body to connect any of their bones together because the little car that they drove around in did everything for them. Well, it's a physical representation of the mental representation we're talking about in this episode. It's food for thought, isn't it? Don't believe all the hype. Do me that favor. Understand we are at ground zero. Any rumors you hear to the contrary are most likely just rumors. If you hear of some cousin's brother's friend who's a big three-letter acronym agent, and they're telling you some tall tale about a computer they saw that could do this and that, maybe. I'm going to put all my money that whatever they saw was specifically programmed to create that one calculation, that one response. And then again, they don't know what a cotton ball is. Just as a quick footnote to the end of the episode, there's a lot of sci-fi talk about downloading a consciousness into a computer. Being very close to the individual who wrote and directed Tron back in 1982, I will tell you that this is a subject I cover a lot with him. Always looking at the next level of what that can be turned into in terms of sequels or rebooting that particular franchise. Having worked on another film with him that dealt with that exact thing, the exact technology we're talking about here, which is downloading a consciousness into a computer. And you need to understand, we're not sitting in a room with just all fictional ideas. We do massive research, read books that are 4 inches thick to update our knowledge on where technology might be with that. The going theories about how to do that. And I will tell you that that is nothing more than an H.G. Wells theory. There's been, I can promise you, absolutely no progress of any kind in that area for any mortal man on this planet. Whether they be in deep government, blah, blah, blah. It hasn't happened, right? For those of you who like UFOs and want to say the aliens always have this technology, if they had that technology, you wouldn't see them visit us. They wouldn't need to, because they just send some AI machine to come take a look at us, right? But we've got drones, right? Putting a consciousness into a computer, just to kind of give you a quick analogy, would be essentially like trying to create a weather prediction system. If you read the book Chaos, you'll hear this theory pulled out quite a bit. It'd be like trying to create a weather system by saying, well, if we just knew the trajectory and position of every atom that contributes to the overall weather conditions of Earth, which really includes every celestial body in the universe, we could put that into a simulation and calculate where every particle will be in its next state, and then we'll be able to predict all the weather that will ever exist, ever. And of course, it comes back as the paradoxical reality end result of the equation. You will never, ever know where all the atoms are, all the ethereal particles are in the universe, and therefore this will never occur. It is artificial intelligence, and this consciousness into a computer thing is really a bit like a character in a book trying to write themselves out of the book while they're in the book. You know it can't happen, right? You can't buy a Stephen King novel and halfway through the novel, the character, the gunslinger, just pops out in your bedroom. It's never going to happen. That's all I got. Richie, amazing stick. Even though it was a little windy out here, it burned beautifully. It tasted beautiful, so appreciate it. If you haven't been to deepthoughtsradio.com, please go. There's video and audio, depending on what your style of listening and viewing is like. There's a locked Facebook group. Please come on over. You'll have to request to be in the group, and then I'll get to you usually within a couple hours to get you in the system. There's Patreon for those of you who want to contribute on a monthly basis. For all of those of you who do, whoa, got that through. Really appreciate it. But in the meantime, take care of yourself and someone else, and I will see you in the next Deep Thoughts. Over now.